Is this better?
Yeah.
Okay, good. I continue to see this as being, people calling these the end times. I mean, I don't know if they're the end times or now. I don't know where people get the information about these being the end times. But these are some very difficult times, I will agree. And being the difficult times, we have to look at what role we are going to play during these difficult times. You know, it's time for us, I guess, to step up to the plate. Whether these are end times or now, I believe God has ordained this time for us to stand up and be lights in our darkness, which was the command in the first place. That's what you hear. We shouldn't be worried about these times, whether they're end times or not, because it doesn't affect our salvation one way or another, does it? Does the end times affect whether you're going to get saved or not?
No.
All right. So why are we focusing so much on the end times? What we should we be focusing on? What did Jesus tell us about what we're supposed to be doing about the day? He says, hey. He said, why are y'all worried about how tall you are? What you're going to look like when you dress? What you're going to eat? He said, your father has need of these things. He said, just don't worry about that stuff. Just focus in on today. Do what you can do today. And with that in mind, I'm going to hopefully challenge us to keep that in mind as I deliver my sermon. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray right now, Lord God, that you would just use this message in our lives today, Lord God, to help us be better prepared to live a life that glorifies you, Lord God, a life that lets the light shine in darkness, Lord God, a light that helps us put our faith and trust in you and what you can do, not in the world and what the world can and cannot do. We do not focus in on man, Lord God, but as we, your children, know, Lord God, that we are who you say we are, and as your children, Lord God, we have the power of love, not of fear, but the power of love, the power of a sound mind. Oh, Lord God, we just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I've been talking about dangerous Christians. You know, that we need to refocus and we get a different perspective about who we are as Christians. How many of y'all now see yourself as a dangerous Christian? Not many of you see yourself as a dangerous Christian. How do you see yourself then? How do you see yourself today in this world? Do you still have fear about this world? What's going on? Do you still see that, like the world's, like we just had the Gateway Festival and the shooting that went down, and suddenly there's this fear about going, and then El Paso, Texas, and then Dayton, Ohio, and then you hear that they stopped a few others from doing that same thing. We living in dangerous times. I will agree that these are dangerous times. I won't call them the end times because God said nobody knew what the end time was. But be that as it may, I'm real. I'm like David. David realized Goliath was real and he was dangerous. That's the kind of times we're living in. I remember growing up living through some dangerous times as a young black man, young black boy growing up in the South, in Southern Illinois. Those are dangerous times. I understand dangerous. We all see these dangerous times.
Yes, sir.
That's not the issue. The issue is how you see yourself behaving in these dangerous times.
Well,
how you see yourself. You know, because the place I work at, Facebook, They've got a whole different script on what is and is not acceptable in terms of what I can and cannot say and how I look at people and everything. And I'm fine with that because the Bible says we're in the world. But, you know, but to be not of it. So I'm going to let, you know. But I've got to understand that my calling is to live such a life that instead of me being afraid of them, they going to be afraid of me. Why? Why would I say that? Well, let's look at it. Why is a Christian dangerous? And I don't really want to read the scripture again, but those of you who've been here knowing that I've been mainly focused on Acts 17 verses 1 to 6, and that's talking about Paul going through these Greek synagogues, and he sees the Jewish have their synagogues there too, and there's this uproar because Paul suddenly shows up, and he's being a light in the darkness. The Jewish people live in darkness. They worshiping the wrong God. And Paul sets up there and says, oh, now let me tell you about what's really happening. I need to tell you about Jesus. And they got upset. They wanted to put Paul and Silas in jail. In fact, they probably wanted to kill them. This is dangerous times for them. How many of y'all nowadays, when we say we live in there, have, when you go out there and say, I want to tell you about Jesus, you know, how many of y'all, first of all, go out there and say, you talk to someone about Jesus? How many of y'all go out there and say, I'm going to talk to you about Jesus? Anybody? Come on now. Anybody going out there ready? Come on now. Come on now. Nobody going out there, y'all not going out there and just letting somebody just in general conversation say, you know, I'm going to share my faith with you. You can share your belief with me, but I'm going to share my faith with you. That's what Paul basically was doing. He saw around, they was having all their beliefs. In fact, he went in the synagogue, the Jewish synagogues, where the faith of them was based on two. And Jesus said, Paul said, you know what? I got to tell y'all about what's about the new covenant. They got mad at him. So again, this is the background of this scripture. And my script is talking about what is it? I talked about what a dangerous Christian was about, a believer in Christ, a believer that freely shares the gospel, a believer that's unfair, that's unafraid of others, a believer that does not worry about their circumstances, a believer that makes disciples, a believer who helps build up the body of Christ. That's what a dangerous Christian is. Why? Why? Because you're spreading the good news. You're doing what God called you to do. You instead of you being infected by the world and all the things of the world, you suddenly are infecting the world. Don't y'all get it? Don't y'all get it? What is it when you're afraid of catching something? We're afraid of catching diseases and all that, right? Because we're afraid they're going to do harm to our body, right? Guess what? That's what you are as a Christian. You have a disease of God. You have that disease of Christ, that zeal that burns inside of you. And guess what? A non-believer can catch that. They can catch Jesus from you. That makes you dangerous. You're dangerous to the world. And you know what? Part of the problem with being a Christian, it requires sacrifice. And part of that sacrifice is bearing the cross. How many of y'all feel the weight of the cross on you? And I'm not talking about them crosses people wear around their collars. You see, ever see some of them folks wearing them big, big, heavy chains with them crosses? I mean, if they made out of gold, they heavy. They probably, that's probably low. I'm not talking about that kind of cross. I'm talking about the cross where you nailed your body and like Jesus did, Father, not my will, But your will be done. And so, as a result of that, Jesus finds himself nailed to a cross, bearing the weight of sin upon himself and bearing this burden of telling the world that God loves them. That's the cross that you should be bearing. And if that ain't the cross, then you got the wrong idea about the cross. And you got to follow Christ. You're being dangerous when you follow Christ, because Christ laid out some very strict rules of behavior. What about it? He said, love your neighbor as you love yourself. He said, you got to hate your enemy. Woo! How many of y'all have reached that point where you really can say, I love my enemy? You said, what now? Yeah, you know, and it's funny, living in this country, we say we're a Christian nation, don't we? We are a Christian nation, and we love, you know, we have our, look here, we having wonderful service here on Sunday, you know, but, you know, at the churches, that's some of the greatest hate going on in the world. Instead of love, we see a lot of people that don't look like us or act like us or come from some other country as our enemies. But what Christ said we're supposed to do? We're supposed to love them. He said, do good to those who mistreat us. Pray for those who lie upon us. So he set some pretty high standards for us. So that's what makes us dangerous, because we act different than the world. And guess what? What happens when you're acting different? What happens when you act different? You get noticed, don't you? You get noticed when you act different. Now, how many of y'all, if y'all saw somebody coming here dressed like a lot of people do with the purple hair and all the rainbows and all the stuff, and they stuff in here, how many of y'all wouldn't notice them? You would notice them. It's noticeable. And you know, one of the things I notice nowadays is our behavior. I don't know. We're in this generation, I can say. We grew up in a generation where kids were taught manners, right? They were taught to say yes or no and open doors and be very polite and everything. It shocks us now, right? That kids don't act like that. They don't even act like they acknowledge that. It's like they haven't even been taught that. So it shows in their behavior. And when we encounter them with our behavior, and they encounter us with their behavior, there's this real recognition. Wait a minute. They'd be looking at us like, we're strange. We're looking at them, they're strange. And so there is the difference because of the behavior, and the behavior is driven by what we think about how we're to act. And that's driven as a Christian from love. The response, and because we talked about it in Sunday school, didn't we, or Bible Sunday this morning, the response that we have towards situations is based upon love. You know, why is a Christian dangerous? It says in the Acts 17, I think verse 6, we turn the world upside down. Do y'all realize there was a time when the Christian world consisted of 120 people? 120! Oh, no, I can't hear. Oh, my voice? Y'all can't hear me. Can you hear me now? Okay, I'm sorry. Anyway, do you realize at the beginning of the Christian faith, it was 120, maybe more, but it was 120 in the upper room. 120. We now, all these millions and hundreds of millions of people, perhaps billions of Christian believers, resulted from 120 people. They were in the minority. You know, and not only that, but there was coming into a government that says you can't believe in any kind of Jesus theology, but the Jewish faith, you can only believe in Caesar and he's God. Caesar's God now. This is the environment they're growing up into. This is the environment the early church got started. And knowing that, but it broke away from the Jewish faith. The Jewish faith preceded the Christian faith. It broke away from that. It's into an environment where they go to the Greeks, where they have philosophy, and all that is being the main focus of their way of looking at life. You go to Egypt, and they got pharaohs and stuff. You go to this region you're going through, where all these gods and all these different beliefs are. They are going to 120 of them, and they stand firm on their belief in the gospel. So when we talk about going out here and turning the world upside down, we're afraid to even mention Jesus only. Why? We're afraid to go in. I mean, that seems funny today that we've reached a point where we're afraid because we feel that they're going to be offended. In fact, T.A. was mentioning today that the pressure's on because of political correctness in terms of looking at the homosexual lifestyle and accepting it, that if you're a minister of the gospel, they say, guess what? Law trumps your faith. And if you're going to be preaching the gospel nowadays, in this country nowadays, you have to accept homosexuality and be ready to perform marriages. That's where we're at today. The wars have come along and turned the world back upside down the way it was when the church got started. And we're sitting up there holding our hands like, I don't want to cause trouble. I don't want to make no waves. What's up with that? What's up with that? What is it? When did we get to be so intimidated about the world and what they thought or think about us that we will refuse to stand up on our faith? The faith that God gave us, the faith and the strength and the rules and regulations God gave to us. We're supposed to be turning this world upside down again. I'm sorry, but I'm a little bit upset right now because we've gone way back. You know, again, we're in a battle for people's lives. Which we don't understand. We're in a battle for people's lives. You know, people now don't believe in hell. A lot of people don't believe in hell. They if they believe in heaven, they figure that they don't have to do it God's way. They're going to do it their way and they're going to get to heaven like they do. You know how we do, if you got enough money with the right people, they can talk for you and get you out of the bad situation and get you on the good side. That's what they're thinking. People now are thinking that they're going to get to hell by being able to talk and say, well, didn't I do a lot of good works? Don't that count for something? We got to tell them. We have got to tell them. We've got to turn people to God and away from Satan. Away from Satan and his lies. That they now look at someone like our president and say, he's the chosen one and don't have a problem with it. That's where we are today. And we got to turn this world upside down. And the only way we're going to turn it is by us speaking out. Whenever we get a chance to. I mean, we can't even stay silent no more. I'm sorry. Silence is what's killing the church nowadays. And guess what? Don't expect it. It's like we're saying if I be quiet, then things gonna get it won't be tough for me. It won't be bad for me, right? And that's why, ain't you everybody hoping that being quiet, I won't offend people, so things, and I have a good, easy life, and there won't be, guess what? I was taught that you give somebody an inch, you give them an inch, what's going to happen? They're going to take a mile. And see, guess what? That's what's happening. You being quiet, you say, well, no, you gave me an inch. I'm going to keep pushing and pushing and pushing to you say stop, to set boundaries. And that's what a kid does, doesn't it? I know all y'all raised kids, right? Yeah. Did you let a kid determine what's right and wrong? Right. No, you don't. So we as Christians can't let the world tell us and help, and lay that groundwork that they can tell us what's right and wrong. We got to stand firm on what God's word is. And guess what? Amen. This is it. Amen. This is it. They can't argue with you. I mean, just say, okay. They say, what? I'm just going to print you to God's word. And then you have to make the decision about whether or not you're going to accept it and how you're going to react to it. So, again, we're in a real battle. We're in a real battle. It's real. And guess what? It's hard. But see, we got to look at the fact that because we God's children, we can't be stopped. We can't be hindered. See, again, to me, that's what makes it very, very interesting is that we don't realize we're unstoppable. We don't realize what power lies within us. We don't realize that we can call down the force of God and he moves on our behalf. He said that if you have enough faith, you can say to the mountain, be thou removed, and it be cast into the sea. If you have the faith. So again, what stops us? What's stopping us from doing what we're supposed to do? What's stopping us as Christians from going out there and taking the world and saving souls? What's stopping us? What's stopping us? Who's stopping us?
Ourselves.
We, you know what? We are allowing Satan to use ourselves against ourselves. We'll say, remember when God called Moses to go back to Egypt to be the leader to bring the children of Israel? What was Moses' response? Can't do it because why? I don't speak. See, he had already made, even though God said, I'm sending you back, and he saw God burn a bush, and he was in the very presence of God. He didn't question it wasn't God, but he questioned that God could have him go back, and he can't speak well. And what did God do to him? He said, I'm going to show you my power. Put your hand in your robe and pull down. Leprosy. Pull it back out. Take that rod. Boom. He showed him his power. He showed Moses what he was going with. And yet, Moses, because of his thought about who he was and what he said, I still can't do it. There's a lot of us Moses in here, aren't there? How many of y'all can see y'all Moses? Y'all believe y'all got power and all this, but you're afraid that somehow you can't say the right words or give the right speech? How many of y'all afraid of what you're going to say to folks when you talk to them? How many of you feel you got to have a script?
Sometimes.
You feel you got to have a script when you talk to folks? What's the easiest thing? What did God Jesus tell what about speaking to people? He told them, don't worry about what you're going to think. Don't worry about that because at that time the Holy Spirit will lead you. Okay? And see, a lot of y'all, I hope y'all taking notes and going to look that stuff up because I'm saying these things, but y'all need to go look them up because, I could be misquoting or taking them out of context and stuff, but you need to look that up. I just talked about Moses. I hope you're going to go find out about what God
called Moses and Moses. And then I talked about where Jesus said, through the Holy Spirit, you ain't got work because the Holy Spirit going to give you the word to say. Old and New Testament scripture. To back up what I'm saying. Again, we can't be stopped. We cannot be hindered. And again, the scripture Jesus quotes, again, Jesus said, don't be afraid of losing your life. For if you're afraid of losing your life, what? If you lose your life, if you're afraid of losing your life, you're actually going to lose it. But if you're willing to give up your life, then you'll gain it. See, that, he said, if you're afraid to lose it, you're going to lose it. But if you're not afraid of losing, and for my sake, you're going to gain it. I can't. What's the worst that can happen to you if you die?
I go home to be with my father.
There you go. That's what Paul said. I'm going home. I ain't worried about dying. In fact, I'm kind of looking forward to dying. But see, you know, it ain't for me to determine when I die. It's just for me to be prepared for when I die. So, again, we can't be afraid of losing a life, right? So, therefore, there's no reason for us not to live and do what God has called us to do. There's no reason for us to talk to people about Jesus. There's no reason for us to live up to the standards he saw because we're going to be treated or thought of as different, peculiar. That's what Bible said we're peculiar, didn't it? In Hebrews, said we are peculiar people. We're a royal priesthood. So, again, We shouldn't even be afraid of the world. In fact, the world needs to be looked at being afraid of us. I'm sorry, that's just Cliff's take on it, you know. You know, and one other thing, what makes us dangerous is we can't be corrupted by the things of this world. You know, what was one of the great weaknesses, and it started in Genesis with Eve. God told her, don't eat that fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. He said, but the devil said, yeah, but you can touch it. And look how good. And you know what that fruit does? It'll make you wise because God don't want you to know all this knowledge and stuff. And he kept messing with her mind, so she took of that fruit and ate it. And she gave it to Adam, and he took it. And all of a sudden, that which they shouldn't have known, the knowledge of good and evil, and suddenly this desire and the things about the world came into being. And suddenly, this lustful spirit about the things of the world, we lust after people, we lust after material things, we lust after titles, we lust after all these things. That's the very thing the Bible says we shouldn't lust after. That's the very thing that we shouldn't like about the world, because those are the very things that are going to take us away from God. So he said, don't love the world. Don't love the things of this world. Don't get too comfortable. Don't get too caught up in it. A lot of us, you know, we getting caught up in it. I mean, in fact, the church now has gone off to the point where they're saying loving the world is good. I'm beyond. They now preach loving the world because they call it prosperity gospel. We can have the things to do. In fact, we're supposed to have the things to do. That's what God wants for us to have. They ain't talked about real thing about God wants you to go out there and get these things to help your neighbor. No. You supposed to get these things to acquire for yourself so you can keep up and make those bigger, bigger, better houses and stuff. Oh, Lord, we're so far. We can't love the world. That's a dangerous Christian one, because when you don't love the world, you don't mind sacrificing life. You don't mind telling them. You don't mind suffering the humiliation. You don't mind the things that come with living as a Christian. And guess what? Again, they're gonna think you're peculiar because what? Wait a minute. You can't be brought. You can't be those things of war. You turning down away from. What's wrong with you? Something wrong with you? You live in America, USA, you're supposed to try to get as much as you can, any way you can. And lastly, I think this is my last point. You know what? That's a good thing about being a Christian. This last point, our faith. A faith that acts out of love enables us to do the impossible. Because again, it ain't about us. David did the impossible when he beat Goliath. Moses did the impossible when he led the children of Israel through on dry land through the Red Sea. Time and again, God shows that with him and our faith in him, not a faith in itself, the impossible is possible. See, again, so again, that's what makes us dangerous, that our faith allows us to do that which the world will say can't be done and won't be done. Again, I don't know about y'all, but that, just imagine the world is saying they're going to take you out and all the forces of unrighteousness are pointed at you. They're coming after you because remember, you wanted by Satan. Satan's forces, all the elements of the demonic forces are after you. And you can cringe and try to hide out, or you can stand strong and see all them forces get beat up. All them forces just come around you because God said he'll put a church, got 10,000 can't even get you. That's what makes us such a dangerous individual as Christians. We walk. And when we walk, we stand on the solid ground of God. We go into places that danger, angels might tread a fear because we go on with God. That's why I relate to the old church and the old saints because they walked. And they walked through some impossible places, didn't they? They walked those places where the drug infested, booed, people with guns and everything doing all, they go into towers and stuff. But there was still that sense of anointingness on them that even those folks recognize, don't mess with that person. You do not mess with them. There's a spirit of God that doesn't spin on. So again, we have that as our legacy, as our heritage, if we want it. See, all these things, I'm just saying, this is ours if we want it. Now, you don't have to do that. Oh, I messed up here. I missed the point. And again, this is all about being able to stand against Satan. All these things, again, is about being a dangerous enough Christian that you know you're dangerous enough that you can stand against Satan himself. So y'all understand, being able to stand against Satan, we are able to stand against Satan. Woo! I don't know about y'all, but that's a mind blower.
Yes, sir.
Me in my small physical form, you and you and you in your small physical form, no match for Satan even on our own. But because we are gods, we've been washed in the blood of Jesus, Satan ain't no match. In fact, it says stand still and see the suffering. It says if we stand still and praise God, what's Satan going to do? He's going to run. He's going to flee us. So I told you, so it's we some bad people. Oh, is that near my dangerous? Why? We are dangerous. I can't stress enough. We got to flip it in our mind of who we are. We got to rethink this. We got to get this in our soul, in our spirit, so we now realize we dangerous. I'm coming to you as dangerous. I mean, on my job, I worry about the people on my job. I laugh about it. I have a good time because I'm not worried about them and what they can do to me. Amen. God's got my back.
Yes, he does.
God's got my back. And that's what we are. And see, that's when we should be walking out like this in this world, you know, with our back straight. Don't be apologetic about how we are and everything. I'm walking out, hey, you proud of who you are, I'm proud of who I am. You proud of your unrighteousness, I'm proud of my righteousness. So I'm sorry. And if you want to talk about your stuff, I'm going to talk about myself, about my God, okay? Hey, that's all I'm saying, you know. Ain't nothing wrong with that. In fact, I don't care about you talking about your God. I'm not going to be afraid of you. And of what you. But guess what? Just be prepared for me to talk about mine, okay? Now, this is, we're going to get the rules straight. We're going to have equal time, you know, and we're going to see who influenced who. Okay, so again, I hope y'all going to really get with me on this. Let's go out there and become dangerous.